From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Still on Canada's Cup 2022. We begin with the events happening in July. On July the 1st, 2022, Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan and Minister of Economy of the United Arab Emirates Abdullah bin Tauq Al Mari in Abu Dhabi signed the Indonesia-United Arab Emirates Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. The signing of this partnership agreement was said to be a historic moment because this was the first time Indonesia has trade agreements with the countries in the Gulf regions. On July the 7th, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and British Foreign Minister Elizabeth Truss discussed the issue of food and energy security in the bilateral meeting held on the sidelines of the G20 Foreign Ministers' meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali. UK declared its readiness to support Indonesia in the development of the wind and solar energy. On July the 8th, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi emphasized that G20 must be a solution to various global challenges. Minister Retno, when officially opening the G20 Foreign Ministers meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali, mentioned the problems facing the world today, including the food and energy crisis triggered by the war in Ukraine and the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. On July 28th, the governments of Indonesia and Malaysia signed a joint statement regarding the placement and protection of Indonesian migrant workers in the domestic sector in Malaysia. Both parties agreed to resume recruitment and placement of Indonesian migrant workers in Malaysia from August 1st, 2022.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now let's move on to the events in August. The Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy held the 2022 International Wellness Tourism Conference and Festival in order to promote health tourism in Indonesia. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno explained that the event held in Solo, Central Java on August 5-7, 2022, became a creative event to showcase Indonesian health products. On August 29, Bank Indonesia and the Monetary Authority of Singapore agreed to initiate cross-border QR code-based payment cooperation between Indonesia and Singapore. Governor of Bank Indonesia Peri Warjio in Jakarta said this cooperation will be launched in semester 2, 2023. This collaboration is expected to facilitate users in making retail payments instantly, safely, and efficiently by scanning the Quick Response Indonesian Standard QRS code displayed by merchants.
Voice of Indonesia.
Moving on to the events happening in September. On September the 5th, Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a visit from the President of the Philippines, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. at the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java. Marcos chose Indonesia as the first country he visited in the series of the first state visits as the President of Philippines. President Joko Widodo and President Marcos Jr. witnessed the signing of a number of MOUs. On September the 7th until the 9th, 2022, the Indonesian Ministry of National Development Planning held a G20 Development Ministerial Meeting in Belitung, Bangka, Belitung Island Province. Minister of National Development Planning and Head of National Development Planning Agency Suharto Mono Arfa. The meeting confirmed the commitment and the relevance of G20 as the main forum for international economic cooperation. This cooperation aims to narrow development inequality and reduce global poverty and achieve sustainable development growth through blended finance. On September the 12th until the 13th, Indonesia held a G20 Culture Ministers meeting in Magelang, Central Java. The results of this meeting invited the G20 countries to work together and restore the cultural sector affected by the pandemic. In addition, the meeting becomes the foundation of sustainable development. In his press statement, Minister of Education, Culture, Research and Technology Nadiem Makarim in Magelang said the commitment was successfully stated in the chair summary.
Voice of Indonesia.
We continue with the events that happened in October. On October 1, 2022, a stampede incident happened at Kanjuruhan Stadium, Malang, East Java. This incident followed the defeat of the home team Arema to Supersebaya Surabaya. This incident left 135 people dead and 583 others injured. On October 6, the Indovac COVID-19 vaccine produced by PT Bio Farma Persero, Indonesian state-owned enterprise holding, has received a halal certificate from the Halal Product Assurance Organizing Agency. This vaccine will be exported to various countries. President Director of Bio Farma, Honesty Bashir, ensured that the entire process and production chain of Indovac vaccine, from raw materials and processes to finished products, has met the requirements for halal products. Meanwhile, quality data, potentials, production process of active substances, finished products and stability have also been in accordance with the policies of the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency, BPOM. According to him, halal certification has become one of Indovac's advantages in the global market after obtaining the emergency use listing from the World Health Organization. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs held the 2022 Indonesia Latin America and Caribbean Business Forum in Tangerang, Banten on October 17 to 18, 2022. Director General of For America and Europe, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Umar Hadi, in a press conference explained, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, in his speech via video message, said Indonesia has a great opportunity to be able to increase export in the Latin America and Caribbean region. On October 18, as a follow-up to the Kanjuruhan tragedy, Indonesian President Joko Widodo met with the President of the International Football Federation, FIFA, Gianni Infantino, at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. During the meeting, Infantino said FIFA was ready to support Indonesian football as the most popular sport in the country. FIFA supports this sport to be the pride of the people and one of the pillars that contribute to the development of the nation. On October 24, Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a visit from Palestinian Prime Minister Muhammad Shatieh at the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java. In his remarks, the president emphasized Indonesia will continue to support the struggle of the Palestinian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we move on to November. On November the 13th, symbolically, Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a gavel from Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Sen as a sign that Indonesia became the chair of ASEAN. Indonesia will then become the chair of ASEAN in 2023. President Joko Widodo said Indonesia's chairmanship will make ASEAN matters epicentrum of growth. On November 15, President Joko Widodo officially opened the G20 summit meeting at the Apurva Kempinski, Bali. In his remarks, the president mentioned world conditions that were experiencing extraordinary challenges, starting from the crisis, the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, escalating rivalries and war. These challenges have impact on food, energy and financial security crisis. According to the president, the G20 summit cannot fail and must succeed in becoming a solution to various challenges in the world today.
Being responsible means respecting international laws and principles of the UN Charter consistently. Being responsible means creating not zero-sum situations. Being responsible here also means that we must end the war. If the war does not end, it will be difficult for the world to move forward. If the war does not end, it will be difficult for us to take responsibility for the future of current generation and future generations. We should not divide the world into parts. We must not allow the world fall into another Cold War.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also expressed his hope that the G20 could continue to be the catalyst for inclusive economic recovery. In the midst of the current difficult situation, the president emphasized the importance of the G20 continuing to work to produce concrete achievements. At the end of his remarks, the president invited all G20 member countries to cooperate to recover together and recover stronger. On November 16th, President Joko Widodo officially closed the G20 Summit 2022, held in Bali for 2 days on November the 15th until the 16th. According to the president, Indonesia's G20 presidency began with the hope of uniting common intentions in an inclusive world recovery from the pandemic. The president said, as the G20 presidency, Indonesia has sought the best solutions during a year of leadership in the midst of new challenges that have arisen. The president is grateful G20 Indonesia has produced a document in the form of the Bali G20 Leaders Declaration.
Alhamdulillah, hari ini kita dapat mengadopsi dan mengesahkan G20 Bali Leaders Declaration.
Thank God today we are able to adopt and ratify the G20 Bali Leaders Declaration. This is the first declaration that has been realized since February 2022. I express my highest appreciation to all those present who have given their flexibility so that the declaration can be agreed upon and ratified.
Deklarasi dapat disepakati dan disahkan.
In addition to the declaration, Indonesia's presidency also produced concrete deliverables containing a list of cooperation projects for G20 member countries and invitations. According to the president, this cooperation project will help bringing the G20 work closer to the people.
Memastikan G20 bermanfaat tidak saja untuk anggotanya.
Ensuring that the G20 is beneficial not only for its members but also for the world, and especially developing countries. Let us recover together, recover stronger. President Joko Widodo also expressed his appreciation to all working groups and engagement groups who have highly dedicated and contributed ideas and contributions to Indonesia's G20 presidency. On November 18th, President Joko Widodo called on the leaders of Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation or APEC countries to strengthen concrete cooperation amid the global crisis in the field of food, energy, environment, or the threat of recession. The president, when delivering intervention session 1 of APEC economy leaders meeting in Bangkok, Thailand, said in the short term, collaboration is absolutely necessary to overcome inflation and ensure food security. Annual APEC Leader Summit was held for 2 days on November the 18th and the 19th in Bangkok, with a focus on tackling soaring food and energy prices as a result of the Russia-Ukraine war. APEC leaders also discussed the efforts to achieve inclusive and sustainable growth in the Asia-Pacific region. North Korea's launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile that fell inside Japan's exclusive economic zone also drew attention to the APEC Summit Forum, which has 21 members, including Indonesia. On November 24th, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, attended the 9th Islamic Cooperation Organization Halal Expo and the 8th World Halal Summit in Istanbul, Turkey, virtually. Minister Erlangga said micro, small and medium enterprises and economic strategic zone plays a significant role in realizing Indonesia's vision to become a global halal hub in 2024. Still on the same date, State-Owned Enterprises Minister Erick Thohir said the Indovac vaccine produced by PT Bio Farma Persero is a proof that Indonesia is capable of being independent in the national health sector. With its own vaccines, Indonesia can reduce dependence on vaccine imports, even stop it, because it is already capable of self-production. Indovac is the result of a collaboration between the state-owned pharmaceutical holding company and the United States Baylor College of Medicine.
Voice of Indonesia.
Let's move on to December 2022, where President Joko Widodo emphasized Indonesia continued to improve welfare and accessibility for persons with disabilities. President Joko Widodo on his Instagram account @Jokowi on December 3rd stated that Indonesia already had a National Commission on Disabilities and also issued a number of government regulations and presidential regulation, which contains a spirit to continuously improve welfare, opportunity, and accessibility for a person with disabilities. Indonesia held Archipelagic and Island States AIS Forum again in Nusa Dua, Badung, Bali on December 5th and 6th, 2022. Acting Assistant Deputy Delimitations of Maritime Zones and Border Areas at the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Sora Lokita, explained, at the AIS Forum, countries are committed to forming concrete cooperation on issues of concern to island and archipelagic countries, namely adaptations and mitigation of climate change, sea-based economy or blue economy, plastic waste in the sea, and good ocean governance. AIS Forum is a concrete cooperation platform formed to accommodate 47 island and archipelagic countries around the world. On December 5th to 8th, 2022, Head of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, Riko Rita Karnawati, conducted a survey to trace fault traces and measures cracks at the location that is thought to be the epicenter of the Cianjur earthquake. Riko Rita Karnawati stated an earthquake measuring 5.6 magnitude occurred last November 21st at 1300 hours Western Indonesia time in Cianjur Regency, West Java Province. A new fault shift called the Cugenang Fault was triggered. The fault stretches 9 kilometers across 9 villages in 2 sub-districts. On December 8, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi officially opened the 15th Bali Democracy Forum, or BDF, in Nusa Dua, Bali. In her remarks, Minister Retno mentioned the 15th Bali Democracy Forum took the theme Democracy in a Changing World, Leadership and Solidarity. number of international institutions have reported declining and stagnant democracy. According to Minister Retno, this theme is relevant to the world situation which is facing challenges to democracy.
Dan guna menghadapi tantangan tersebut, diperlukan sebuah leadership. Leadership collective, leadership, dan juga
to face this challenge, strong and effective collective leadership and world solidarity are needed. Indonesia's presidency at the G20 has shown that very strong leadership and solidarity are needed by the world today. Democratic values such as inclusivity and dialogue are the foundation Indonesia in carrying out the G20 presidency so that the results were good amid high pessimism at that time.
Tingginya pesimisme pada saat itu.
At the closing of the 15th PDF on December 8, Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Teguh Faizasha, said the PDF process had made a positive contribution, especially in ensuring the implementation of democracy. PDF had positioned itself as the main forum to discuss and exchange experiences in promoting democracy in the Asia-Pacific region. The 15th Bali Democracy Forum was held in hybrid manner and was attended by 323 participants from 112 countries and 5 international organizations. Still on the same date, after closing the 15th PDF, Indonesia and Qatar co-chaired the meeting of the International Conference on Afghan Women's Education, which was held in Nusa Dua, Bali. The meeting produced a joint declaration document called the Bali Message. In that document, all participants agreed to make serious efforts and concrete actions to expand opportunities and access for Afghan women and girls to benefit from formal education at all levels and various learning methods. On December 9, the Indonesian Minister of Home Affairs inaugurated Southwest Papua as a new province in Indonesia. With this inauguration, Indonesia now has 38 provinces. Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian said the establishment of Southwest Papua province, along with three other new autonomous regions in Papua, is part of an effort to accelerate equitable distribution of development and welfare of the Papuan people. According to the minister, the formation and inauguration of the Southwest Papua province was also carried out based on the aspirations of the Papuan people. On December 12th, Indonesian Deputy Minister of Law and Human Rights, Edward Omar Sharif Hirai, said foreign tourists need not to worry about coming to Indonesia after the new criminal code was ratified by the Indonesian House of Representatives or DPR RI. In a press conference at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta, he explained, foreign tourists will not be charged with cohabitation articles because cohabitation articles are absolute complaint offenses.
Wisatawan tidak akan bisa dijerat dengan pasal ini. Mengapa?
Tourists will not be charged with this article. Why? When a couple comes on vacation to Indonesia, they are not legally married. They are only two possible complainants. Namely, their children or their parents who are not in Indonesia. They are abroad. So that's an excessive concern of those who actually do not understand the content in the article on cohabitation. On December 13, the Indonesian House of Representatives DPR RI officially authorized the Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Yudo Margono to become the commander of the Indonesian Armed Forces TNI, replacing General Andika Prakasa. The House Speaker Puan Maharani hoped Admiral TNI Yudo Margono would be able to better the performance of TNI in strengthening and maintaining the unitary states of the Republic of Indonesia. On December 14, President Joko Widodo said, if Asian member countries and the European Union want to build a better partnership, then the partnership must be based on equality. There must be no coercions. This was emphasized by President Joko Widodo in his remarks while attending on the Asian-European Union Summit commemorating the 45th anniversary of Asian-European Union partnerships in Brussels, Belgium.
Tidak boleh ada pemaksaan.
There should be no coercions. There should be no parties who always dictate and assume that my standard is better than yours. Still on December 14, on the sidelines of the 45th commemoration summit of the Asian and European Union partnerships in Brussels, President Joko Widodo held a bilateral meeting with the Dutch Prime Minister, Czech Prime Minister, and also the Swedish Prime Minister. In the bilateral meeting, the President Joko Widodo highlighted discriminatory European Union policies that hamper Indonesia's commodity export. An earthquake has shaken Indonesia again after having occurred in several areas on December 17 at 4:50 Western Indonesia time. An earthquake with a magnitude 5.2 shook Sumur, Banten province. The epicenter point is at 6.23 south latitude and 105.08 east longitude, or 73 kilometers in the northwest of Sumur, at the depth of 10 kilometers. Listener, that was Kaleidoscope 2022. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kau yang bangunkanku dari mimpi burukku, kau hangatkan hatiku yang dulu sempat membeku. Kau yang lelapkanku dari masa laluku, kau katakan padaku hanya aku di hatimu. Tadinya ku berpikir engkaulah untukku, tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain, hati ini kau buat mati. Lelahku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh, 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 oh. Kau yang lelapkan aku dari masa laluku, kau katakan padaku hanya aku di hatimu. Tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku, kau pergi dengan yang lain. Kau buat mati, lelahku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh. Thank you. mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain, hati ini kau buat mati. Lelahku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati.
Voice of Indonesia.
I'll start today in history with December the 30th, 1922, the Soviet Union officially established. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, or Soviet Union, was officially founded and recognized on December the 30th, 1922. The Soviet Union is a socialist country that existed between 1922 until 1991 in Eurasia. It adopted a one-party political system held by the Communist Party until 1990. Although the Soviet Union was ulang until 1990, although the Soviet Union was actually a political unit of several Soviet republics with the capital city in Moscow, in fact, the Soviet Union was transformed into a country which government was highly centralized and implemented a planned economic system. Turning to 1959, Che Guevara fighting with Cuban government troops. Revolutionaries under the command of Ernesto Che Guevara fought against the government troops loyal to Cuban President Fulgencio Batista on December 30, 1958. The battle was fought by Che for control of the city of Santa Clara, and within 12 hours of the rebel victory, Batista had left the country with control of the country passing into Fidel Castro. I'll end today in history with December 30, 2009. Indonesian former President Abdurrahman Wahid death. Kyai Haji Abdurrahman Wahid, who is familiarly called Gus Dur, was born in Jombang, East Java, September 7, 1940, and died in Jakarta, December 30, 2009, at the age of 69. He is an Indonesian Muslim figure and political leader who became the fourth president of Indonesia from 1999 to 2001. He succeeded President B.J. Habibie after being elected by the People's Consultative Assembly as a result of the 1999 elections. Gus Dur also made a number of cultural changes in Indonesia, one of which was by making Chinese New Year a national holiday. Before he died, Gus Dur had been hospitalized since December 26, 2009, due to complications from various diseases he had suffered. That was today in history.
Benarkah
Voice of Indonesia.
Kalimas is a river located in the center of Surabaya city, East Java. This river looks very beautiful so that it can add to the ambience to be more romantic. The government of Surabaya city has neatly arranged the banks of the river. For those of you who visit Surabaya city, come to Kalimas Water Tourism and feel its exoticism. The tourism concept is interesting because it combines the concept of culinary, education, shopping, and history. You can enjoy this interesting concept by going along the Kalimas River. The government of Surabaya city is not only equipping the Kalimas River with several entertainments that can be enjoyed, such as saxophone music, shopping for micro, small and medium enterprises MSMEs at the floating market, and live music performance on boats, but also beautifying the tour routes with colorful paintings and lanterns. The tourism concept also presents an atmosphere like in Singapore and also cruising canals like in Venice, Italy. If you want to visit and experience Kalimas Water Tourism, you can order tickets on tiketwisata.surabaya.go.id. You can determine the days and hours of tourist visits. If the ticket had been ordered, then exchange your ticket at the dock according to the tour package you choose. Kalimas Boat Tour is open from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m., while on weekends, it is open from morning to night. There are two routes package offered, the long route package and the short route one. The ticket price of the long route package with a round trip Monkasel, Siola, is 10,000 rupiah, including entry to the Monument Kapal Selam and the Museum Pendidikan. Besides, it also passes through the Air Mancur Patung Surabaya and the skate and BMX park to the floating market. Meanwhile, the ticket price of the short route with a round trip Taman Prestasi Museum Pendidikan is 4,000 rupiah. And passengers will pass through the floating market. For this package, the ticket exchange location is at the dock of Taman Prasasti starting at 3 p.m. Currently, the government of Surabaya city has provided 7 boats to transport visitors to Kalimas Water Tourism. Each boat unit is able to carry 10 to 12 visitors for one trip.
Bukan salahmu bila diriku tak tahu bagaimana caranya mencintai. Bukannya aku tak cinta kamu, tak menyayangimu dengan sepenuh hatiku, oh cintaku. Biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memaknai dan memahami. Oh, bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Ini salahku, kekuranganku yang mencintaimu dengan cara yang berbeda. Dapatkah kamu merasakannya bahwa hatiku ini milik kamu seorang? biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memaknai dan memahami. Oh, bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Maafkanku menerima segala kekuranganku. Semoga Tuhan memberi waktu bagiku untuk membalas kasih sayangmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Miscellany for today has a topic: ITS innovates processing of tofu industrial liquid waste into synthetic leather. Listeners, improper processing of tofu industrial liquid waste can cause many environmental problems. Concerning the problems, college students from Institut Teknologi 10 November, ITS, initiated an innovation to deal with the problem of tofu industrial liquid waste into something more useful, such as synthetic leather. As a first step, this innovation was applied at Sambiroto Village, Mojokerto Regency, to be able to answer problems regarding tofu industrial liquid waste in the area. According to the team leader, Indah Tri Cahyani, this innovation also contributes in empowering the surrounding community. Indah and her team innovate a system so that the community could process the tofu industrial liquid waste themselves. Indah explained that firstly, the community would ask the factory owner for the liquid waste from the tofu industry according to required amount. Afterwards, the community will process the liquid waste. The processing is carried out by boiling the tofu. The processing is carried out by boiling the tofu industrial liquid waste with the addition of certain chemicals. The chemicals used include sugar, vinegar, and food grade urea fertilizer mixed with Acetobacter zelenum bacteria. Furthermore, Indah also explained that this innovation has also been arranged as well as possible, so it could make the process easier for the community. The convenience can be seen from the details of the amount of chemicals used. In addition, Indah also conducted training for the community to clarify the processing flow of waste with the help of local youth organizations. The initial product from the liquid waste boiling process is nata de soya, a type of food made from tofu industrial liquid waste. To become synthetic leather, the nata de soya needs to be processed again by removing the water content. After producing a raw product in the form of synthetic leather, training will be carried out for synthetic leather craftsmen so that they can process the raw material into valuable materials such as wallets and bags. That's miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, at the time, we are going to play a song from Cirebon entitled Cirebon City. The song tells about the beauty of Cirebon, a city located on the coast. Cirebon is located on the border between Central Java and West Java. It is known as the City of Shrimps. The lyrics of the songs also mention traditional musical instruments, namely suling and gamelan. The song Cirebon City also reminds us that this song also invites us to give thanks to God. Well, listeners, here is Cirebon City, sung by Diana Sastra.
kebon kang berintang.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.